Today we are talking to Detroit Lions long snapper Scott Daly. We get to talk with Scott about how he lives out his faith in the NFL and his unique story from someone that was the number one long snapper at one point in high school and as someone that attended Notre Dame and has played on a variety of professional teams up until he ended up with the Lions. I had the honor of chatting with him today on a variety of topics like what it's like to play for Dan Campbell, what it's like to be a Christian as a pro athlete, and people that he can rely on within the locker room, and most importantly, how he came to know Jesus. This was an awesome conversation. I absolutely loved talking with Scott today. Before we get into it, make sure to follow and share this episode with an athlete that you know. It means so much to me every time somebody does that. But enough chit-chat. Here is Scott Daly. Welcome back to the Competing for Christ podcast. I am Ken Burke, and our guest today is Scott Daly. Scott, thanks for joining the show today, sir. How are you doing?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. It's a pleasure to have you. First of all, how's the knee feeling? How is that going so far?
It's going well. Yeah, it was definitely a crazy freak injury. One of those things you didn't see coming. Had someone thrown into my knee and just didn't stand a chance.
Oh,
it was one
my
of those
goodness.
Things that just happened. But now things are going well. I'm coming up on 5 months post-surgery and feeling great. Yeah, I've been doing everything, snapping, running, lifting, just doing everything. So I'm just praise God for that. And just getting ready for this next season.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun season. I mean, as the Lions had one of their best seasons ever last year. I'm sure, you are really looking forward to getting back on the field with those guys too.
For sure. Yeah, it was definitely a crazy year to say the least, personally and just as a team, to be able to see what the team was able to accomplish. It was awesome to watch. And
yeah,
obviously it hurt not being out there personally, but to watch them and to see what they were able to accomplish, it was just incredible. Hoping for more.
Yeah, it's coming for sure. Thank you again, Scott, for coming on today. I can't wait to just talk with you through some things about, your journey and what you portray as a Christian in the NFL. But first of all, I found a quote that you said, no specialist has the same journey, obviously referencing long snappers and kickers and special teams players. And I feel like you can relate that so much to Christianity as where, nobody comes to Jesus the same way ever. So for you, how did you initially come to know Jesus and have that relationship to him as a football player and as a person?
Yeah, I think it definitely relates to people's spiritual journey. I mean, my wife was someone who was in the faith, grew up in the faith ever since birth. I mean, her mom is a true, true believer, and she had that. My story was a little bit different in the sense that I was raised Roman Catholic, went to church kind of casually, as some Catholics do, unfortunately. They sometimes get a bad rep of that. But went to church. Was devoted, was baptized, things like that. Never really had any sort of spark or fire for Christ in that sense. Kind of was like just going through the motions, doing all the things, saying all the right things, and just trying to be just a good person overall. And nothing really clicked until in high school. We didn't go to church as much as sports started taking off. Things went a little insane in terms of scheduling wise, and kind of separated ourselves from the church in that sense. But and then things started happening for me as a football player in positive ways. I was getting recruited. Things were, going positively from that point of view. And I was just slowly coming to realize, this is all happening for a reason. This is not of my own doing. Why are these good things happening to me? Yes, I've worked hard and everything like that, but I feel like something's really different, and I'm not quite figuring out what that is. And just started doing research on my own, started watching I Am Second videos, listening to people's testimonies, and kind of getting that curiosity back through that. And then it was kind of one of those moments where it just kind of hit me. I was walking out, it was June of 2011. I committed to Notre Dame. Everything's great. And I'm walking out to my car. There's a beautiful sunset. And it just hit me like a wave of just like this. I need to change. Like I need to go on a different path and figure this out and do it for the right reasons. And I just sat in my car, cried, and just gave myself to Christ in that moment and said, God, I'm yours. Use me for whatever you desire. And from there, I've just been on fire for him. It's not been perfect. It's definitely been a progression, as anyone can just, you know, attest to. But from there, I've really striven to really just live, use his platform for him, live for him in any way that I can. And again, it wasn't an overnight transformation. It definitely took time to grow and really deepen my faith. It definitely took steps forward whenever I met my wife in college. We both met at Notre Dame. She played tennis, I played football. And she definitely pushed me in every way, especially being a man of Christ and really making sure that I'm doing everything I can to live for him and for his kingdom overall. And yeah. It's been great. And that quote definitely can be used for people's spiritual journey. Like, there are people that have known God their whole life, which is amazing. And that's an awesome way to live your life. But the people that I know that have just, you know, past couple years, you know, I know guys on our team that have been baptized and have given themselves to Christ. And it's not as much when it happens, but when it does happen, you just got to be all in.
Yeah, that's so true. And yeah, there's so many people in the world today that aren't all in their faith, which is, it's so sad because Jesus calls us to have that all in faith. You can't be a lukewarm Christian, as they say. But for yourself, when you finally made that connection, what was that journey like through college with your faith?
It was great. I mean, I was very lucky to be surrounded by a lot of strong, devoted Christians, had a lot of mentors and role models, and we had a sort of like a FCA group, like it was like a Notre Dame Christian Athlete group that I got immediately working with at the first day that I stepped foot on campus, and just an amazing group of people that are all in there for the right reasons, from different sports, different backgrounds, all across the country, to be able to once a week really just reset and just rekindle and make sure that we're keeping our eyes fixed on God and making sure that we're using everything that we can as college students and with our just immense platforms to make sure that we're going that way. And it was definitely difficult. Again, like people going to college, like you're on your own for the first time and you got a lot of responsibility, a lot of choice to make, and either go, you know, one way or the other, and just making sure that you're going the right direction is the most important thing. So I was very grateful. I love my time at Notre Dame. Again, I was able to meet my wife there. I was able to do a lot of amazing things academically, athletically, and to be able to travel and to see God mold my heart slowly throughout those 5 years. It was pretty special. And to use me for him was just amazing, amazing process. And I loved every second of it. It was great.
Yeah, that's so cool. And yeah, I mean, you had a heck of a career at Notre Dame. Like you, the first year, y'all won to the national championship. Obviously, you know, things happened there, but we won't talk about those. But you had a great career as a long snapper. And you were one of the best long snappers in the nation. How did that psychologically and spiritually, how did that play in your mind?
It was one of those things where I had to really be patient when I first went in. You know, as a competitor, you want to just play right away. You want to jump in. You just like just hit the ground running. And it was one of those things where first time I really had to really step back and really just trust God and just his plan overall. I was redshirt my freshman year. Luckily that year was again 2012. So the team was doing amazing. Everything was great. So I had a front row seat to all these amazing guys that were just putting on a show every week. So yeah, that's like, that part was awesome. But personally, I definitely wanted to be out there, but at the same time, it allowed me to just become a lot more patient throughout the process. And again, just trusting God's plan. And we have, you know, ambitions and goals and our own plan that's usually a lot more impatient than when God has in store for us. So I think that really initially allowed me to, again, just trust in him, let go, and it continued to control what I can control.
Yeah. I mean, that brings me to, you know, your NFL career and your pro career. Obviously, you've played for a couple other teams besides in the NFL. So there's a lot of questions I could ask here. What have you learned about facing challenges in uncertain times? I mean, as a long snapper, you never know, you know, like what could happen with your roster spot or with injury. I mean, it's a perfect example with your situation. What has God taught you about just trusting in him through those uncertain times?
Yeah, I think, again, just looking at my journey and what I've not just what I've, you know, kind of personally gone through. And again, everyone's different and guys have had smooth transitions and they've jumped right in. Everything's been great. But in my particular case, it was, again, just trusting him, letting go. And so I initially signed with Dallas out of college, got a lot of experience, loved it. Didn't make the team, but got my foot in the door, learned a lot, understood what it meant to be a pro at that level and what it really took at that level. And like you said, like with snappers, there's only one guy per team. So the turnover rate is a little bit less than traditional other positions. But when you're able to get in, you can stay in there for a little bit longer than most guys, because teams usually don't want to have to get rid of a guy if they don't have to. So then from there, luckily, they had some spring leagues that were starting to pop up right at that time, which was perfect timing for me in my case, especially at kicker, punter, and snapper. To be able to get more film and just get more eyeballs on you is invaluable, is great. To be able to just keep on playing and show that you're able to play at that level. So I went to San Antonio that following spring and played in the Alliance of American Football. It was a spring league that started up, and a lot of people were behind it, and we lasted about 7 weeks, I think, in the season due to financial woes. We didn't know at the moment, but found out later. So it was quite the interesting spot of you're playing, everything's great, I'm loving life, I mean, I'm making money while playing football for the first time, it's awesome, and then out of nowhere, you're just gone, you're on your own, you got to figure out what you want to do next and how to figure out life. And you're like, okay, that's a quick reality check. And again, it's one of those things where you can't focus on the outside factors. You have to control what you can control. And then fast forward the next year, I played in the XFL for the New York Guardians out there. And again, loved it. Awesome time. One of those spring leagues, the cool thing about those was you get a mixed bag of guys that are like in the beginning of their career, like how I was, and then guys who are like at the latter end of their career that just love to play ball and they're probably not going to make it. So I really treasured those times, and looking back, I wouldn't change anything for it. You know, some guys, you know, would have loved to just jump in the league and then be fine, but I think those 2 years in those spring leagues really shaped me into who I am, of just endurance and just trust and just, again, just letting go. Because again, when I was in the XFL, we had Uncle COVID come around the corner and shut our season down. So we made it through, I think, about 5 weeks, didn't even make it to seven like the previous year. So that was, again, a moment where like everything stops the next day and you got to figure out life and figure it out quick. And from there, I mean, it's one of those things where I had a great season. Nothing was really happening in terms of getting calls, and I literally had a conversation with my wife. I mean, this is probably summer of 2020. And I'm like, all right, if nothing happens in a calendar year, like I'm okay. Like that must be a sign from God saying that, you know, it's, you've done everything you can. Great. But we're now on to the next thing. And I was totally at peace with that. And I just prayed and said, God, if nothing happens, then I'm totally fine with moving on and use me for something else. Just use me as your instrument for whatever you call me to. And this is about a little short of a calendar year. It was about April of 21. Detroit got their new staff in, and little did I know, they'd been talking to my agent for a little bit. And my agent reached out one day and said, hey, we've been talking to Detroit's teams coach. They seem to like you. And the second he said that, I've heard that a million times from a lot of teams. Like they said, like, yeah, we like you. We'll see what happens. We'll like you. We'll see what happens. And nothing usually ends up happening. So I was kind of rolled my eyes thinking, oh, yeah, whatever. And then 10 minutes later, Detroit called and they said, hey, we like you a lot. We're going to see how things pan out. And if things, you know, if the chips fall in a certain way, then we're going to sign you and have you compete. And those things happened and everything fell in a particular way that there was no other explanation other than God's hand was at work the whole time. I mean, guys got drafted a place that they probably shouldn't have been. Two snappers got drafted that year, which has never happened ever in the history of the NFL, especially after COVID, when like teams haven't even seen guys and they had very little film to be able to judge these guys off of. So it was clear at that moment, even more clear than before, that God's hand was at work. And it was just amazing to be able to see that happen and to have things work out the way that they did, to be able to go to Detroit, compete, win the job, and then to be there now 4 years later.
Wow. Holy cow. That's, I mean, it's scary at parts. It's like just weird timing at parts. For an average Joe like myself, what is that phone call like with Detroit? Are you just like jumping up and down? Are you just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll be there.
No, I was definitely jumping for joy. I mean, my wife and I have been praying for something like that, and just the to be able to wait 4 years and have that moment. I mean, I remember we were working out, we were watching the draft just avidly, just refreshing our phones every 5 seconds, just seeing like who was going where, waiting for snappers to see where they were going. And when the second guy that they were considering of taking over me went to a different team, I mean, my phone, my agent called me and then Detroit called me. And I mean, I remember going out and just on my knees and just saying, thank you, God. Like that was just, it's just amazing. And all the hard work and just patience just to be able for it to pay off at that moment, just to even have an opportunity, not knowing that you're going to make the team or not, to be able to just be able to have an opportunity to set foot in a different facility, different building, and just give it my all and just see what happens. It was definitely a special moment for sure.
Gosh. Yeah. And that's, I mean, such a special organization too, that's been through so much and now they're finally turning the corner and you guys are finally turning the corner. What has Coach Campbell meant to you? And you know, he is, we've all seen the videos. We've all seen the interviews. What does he mean to you as a head coach?
He's incredible. I mean, I owe so much to that guy. And I told my wife this, like after the first year of playing with him, like I would take a bullet for that guy. Oh, like wow. That guy is, I mean, just incredible. The way that he carries himself, the way that just that he leads the team on the field, off the field, and everyone just responds to him in the most positive way. I mean, he's so sincere. There's no fluff. There's no blowing smoke up guys' butts, nothing like that. I mean, well, the special thing too, I think, that people didn't realize at first is that with him playing, being a former player, but also playing Detroit, realizing what it takes for Detroit to be successful and what it means for this city to be able to have the success that we now just are starting to have, is definitely special. And I mean, he's intense, but sincere at the same time. He's very demanding, but he's with everyone across the board. And he wouldn't have you do anything that he doesn't know is going to work. And he said, like, obviously the first year was tough, like going, you know, 3-13-1, like there was definitely some tough days, but I tell everyone, like, you would never know that we were 0-11-1 based on people's, just the coaches, the players, the staff, body language, everything. He's and that just starts with Dan. I mean, like, Dan has set that culture from day one and building it the right way, and just like, hey guys, just trust the plan, it is all going to work. And to be able to see where we're going right now is pretty special, and I just, it could have happened to a more deserving person. I mean, again, like, I love that guy so much, and I just, he's my favorite head coach I've ever played for, hands down.
Yeah, he's a special. I mean, I'm not even a Lions fan, and I'm just like, I was pulling for y'all the entire year. Like, it was just so fun to watch y'all just dominate teams at times. And okay, this is gonna segue a little bit. The fourth down fake punt versus the Chiefs, the first game of the year. What was going through your mind?
Honestly, the fact that we've run so many fakes before that, it honestly didn't even faze us. I mean, like, it's one of those things really? Where in hindsight, everyone's like, did they really just run a fake punt? The second punt of the entire season is pretty crazy on our own 30-yard line. But that's just another example of, like, why Dan is so great, is that he trusts us so much. And he really has his finger on the pulse. He knows everyone, their strengths, their weaknesses, like what's able to work in different situations. And like, he really trusts us, like every single play. And like, same with like that and like another fourth down or going for on fourth down, where a lot of people would kind of scratch their head and be like, I don't know if you should have done that. But he honestly, he wouldn't put us in those situations if he didn't believe in us. And like, it's one of those things where like, it's so cool having a head coach that really believes in you, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. And to have a coach too that is so aggressive in terms of running fakes on in special teams is awesome as well. Like, I think we run like 9 or 8 or 10 fakes. We only didn't convert on two of them, but it's so much fun to be able to have that in your back pocket and to have a coach that's willing to roll the dice and to be able to make things happen.
That's awesome. That is, I mean, that's cool coming from you too, because you were in it, like you were doing it, you know. That's crazy. But yeah, you know, speaking of Coach Campbell, like, he had such high praise for you. I saw in an interview that he had that, you know, when you went down with your injury, he was calling you like a rock and somebody that they really relied on throughout the team. So like, for all the athletes that are listening to this, does it ever get easier going through an injury? Because no matter if it's your first or your last, like, it's tough, I'm sure. How has that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously to hear that from Coach was awesome. I mean, like, obviously, you know, just having the injury the day before and, you know, being in a pretty tough place just mentally, just trying to process everything and really just wrap your head around everything going on. For him to say that, it definitely meant a lot to me personally. And I, again, think the world of him, and for him to say that definitely meant a lot during that time. Yeah, I mean, injuries suck. Yeah, there's no other way to get to go around it. I mean, especially, you know, whether it's your first, like you said, or it's a consistent thing. This is my first serious one, so I've been grateful up to this point to be able to have a pretty healthy bill until this. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just, it was a freak thing. Dude's helmet just went to my knee, and I just didn't stand a chance. I was, like, about to stand up, and my leg was a little bit locked out, and just I had no chance to be able to absorb it or anything like that. One thing I will say, I think, the biggest thing in terms of how my faith, see my faith in action, was during that moment, I was about as calm as I've ever been in that sense, knowing that this is out of my control. It sucks in the moment, obviously, but just knowing that, and I just kept on telling myself over and over again, like, God, I trust in your plan. 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 Because you have to at that moment. Like, you got a million different thoughts going on in your head. A lot, you're just in fight or flight mode. You're thinking of a million different things. I'm thinking of, my wife has seen this right now. Like, she's obviously going nuts. And, you know, the team and the next game is a serious, there are a million different things, but just recentering myself and just saying, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. And it's been a grueling process, especially the first, you know, with MCLs, like, you're not able to really do anything for 6 weeks. Like, ACLs, they want you moving as soon as possible, but MCLs, like, you got to let that ligament heal for 6 weeks. So I'm basically locked out, brace, everything, just for 6 weeks and just not doing a whole lot. So it was definitely an interesting time, but a good reflective time to be able to just recenter, refocus, and make sure that my identity is not in football, because if it is, then, like, those things just can just break you just mentally. And I was really happy to see where I was just in my faith overall, and knowing that I can just do a lot more and be a lot more closer and be a lot more lean back on him regardless of what happens. And so it definitely happened for a reason. I may never know the reason why, but I just trust in him and knowing that this happened for a specific purpose, for his reason, and for his plan.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good, it's always a good reality check. Like, injuries, like you said, they always suck, but it's a good reality check of, like, seeing where you're at on your spiritual journey and where you're placing your identity in. Because, like you just said, if your identity's in football, when that's taken away, you don't have anything to do or to put your faith in if you don't have that in God. And I think it's good to hear someone like yourself say that, because as every athlete's going to go through an injury probably, it's good to know, like, first, it never gets easier, and second of all, like, you have to put your identity in something else, because if not, you're going to go through a hard time. And I'm really thankful that you said that you kept replaying, like, God, I trust you, because that's such a big thing that people don't, I think they don't realize, is speaking that and saying that in your mind can do wonders for your faith.
100%. Yeah. It was one of those things where, you know, I'd never been through that situation. It was a first for me. You know, I'm sure some guys have been through it either or haven't, and I've never wished it upon anyone. But in that moment, again, like, a million different thoughts are just flooding your mind. And I think just to recenter yourself during those moments and just lean on, you know, you talk about, you know, having faith in those dark times and having faith, you know, in those valleys, to be able to try to put it into practice and just control, you know, my mind at that point, I think is a huge part to be able to just refocus yourself and just, again, control what you can control.
Whether, you know, whether you were going through that injury or before that, do you have, like, a support system? Either, obviously, your wife and your family definitely are that support system, but, like, your teammates, your coaches, do you have that support system where you can rely on your faith aspect and bringing that into the locker room too?
For sure. Yeah. Our kicker at the time, Riley Patterson, is an awesome believer. He was, luckily I knew Riley for a couple of years. He was with us my rookie year for half the season, and then competed with us, didn't win the job that year, but went to Jacksonville, and we still kept in touch with him. And then he ended up coming back last year, which was awesome to be able to have that full circle moment for him to come back. And him and I are really active in our Bible, there's a team Bible study group, and to be able to have that and just to have someone just to lean on, you know, check in, just make sure, you know, what I'm doing, how I'm doing spiritually, to make sure that, you know, everything was going well, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually, to have someone like that. But also our head of player engagement, who's also our team chaplain, Sean Pugh, to be able to be able to stay tapped in, you know, with our chapel sessions virtually, our Bible studies throughout the week, and for him to be a constant support system, he was amazing as well, just to make sure that I was getting fed spiritually throughout the season, even though I wasn't there in the building and it was tough and it was difficult. But regardless if they were traveling to a chapel or if they were doing, you know, team Bible studies on Thursdays, to be able to stay tuned into that and to be able to make sure I was getting fed that way. So those two guys, especially off the top of the head, were definitely outside of, obviously, you know, my wife and family and stuff. Those two guys in the building were definitely paramount into making sure I was, you know, moving in the right direction.
Yeah, your teammates and the coaches can be the only people you see in, you know, for however long the season goes, you know what I mean? Because I'm sure you're there for 10, 12 hours a day putting in work, just grinding throughout the day. So I think it's important to always have that faith companion with you in that journey too. How have you managed to not play for the wrong reasons? Like for example, like your ego or like money or fame. We all struggle with sin, but how have you managed to not fall into that trap a lot?
I think, like you said, just making sure that you have the right people around you. You are who you surround yourself with. And again, yeah, especially, you know, in the locker room, you know, there's a lot of distractions sometimes. You know, people are telling you a certain thing. People are pumping you up every week. And, you know, when you're doing well, you know, things are great. Life is awesome and food tastes better and everyone around the building is happier. And, you know, you get caught up with that instant gratification. But whenever, you know, you lose, like the sky is falling, everything's terrible. We need to figure this out now. We're in a business where we're constantly judged each and every day, and to really not get caught up in that is very difficult. And it's taken time to be able to figure out and gauge that and to be able to work around that. And again, like making sure just trying to stay off social media too, with like the good and the bad, because, you know, whenever things are good, people are pumping you up all the time and saying you're amazing, you're this, you're that. And, you know, when in reality, we're really not all that. You know, we're ordinary people that have an extraordinary job. You know, we're just like everyone else, and we just we're in different scope and different light that sometimes gets propped up a little bit too much than we probably should. But I think just making sure that you're having your right support system around you that keep you rooted in the right things, and making sure that we're keeping our eyes gazed on his plan, and making sure that we're doing everything that we possibly can to represent him in the best light, to be a light for him, to be salt of the earth. That was our biggest verse that we had ever since our new chapel got there, was to be salt of the earth. And we would always go back to that verse in Matthew to be able to make sure that are we doing this for the right reasons? Are we making sure that we're using the platform for him in that right reason? So it's definitely tough, and there's definitely times where I've, you know, had to check myself, and, you know, if things are going well, if things are going bad, to make sure that we're walking along that straight and narrow path for him.
Yeah. I've been really thinking about this a lot lately. Like, we as Americans or anybody in this world, we put athletes on this pedestal. And like, I don't understand why we exactly do that. For somebody that's living in it, what have you learned about, like, not, I mean, you say, for example, you don't go on social media. How do you take that pressure off of you?
It's definitely a process. I mean, yeah, one thing I have really enjoyed is that during camp, I cut off of social media. Like, it just allows me to just refocus and recenter on the most important thing. Because at that time, like, camp is the most important thing you got going on physically. I mean, we're away from our spouses, like, almost every hour except for a couple hours at night. Just really making sure that you're able to control what you can control. And I'm not perfect in that sense. Like, I'll definitely pop on here and there, and during the season I definitely get caught up in some of the things when I probably shouldn't have. But, you know, like you said, like, we're you know, human, we're, you know, part of those things. And again, just, yeah, like you said, like, trying not to get caught up, and whenever things are going well, that, you know, you're better than you actually are, and making sure that that we're staying humble, making sure we're doing the right thing, staying along, you know, the right path, and just not getting caught up in those things. Because it's definitely tough, especially in this age of social media, where you're able to see everything. Everyone's talking about you. Everyone's, you know, just propping you up or putting you down whenever things aren't going well. So just trying to just keep a level head whenever you can, making sure you're surrounded with the right people, and just try to, you know, focus on what's the most important, you know, keeping God at the center of all things, and making sure that we're just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah. Are there any verses that you, or verses or piece of advice that you really replay in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, so I've been going through a chronological Bible this year for the first time, which I've really enjoyed. A buddy of mine, Hunter Christian, he's a pastor down in Nashville. Him and I are going through it together. And it's been the first time I've been going through that sort of Bible. And I've really enjoyed it as it lays out everything in the Bible just based on just date and just chronological order, which I'm really excited, especially with like the Gospels, how it goes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It kind of bounces like from certain events and certain events that happen with Jesus. And I went through Exodus, and it was the very last paragraph of Exodus, and it was saying that throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. And this is after Mount Sinai, and they're about to leave their journey from Mount Sinai after Moses brought down the tabernacles and the Ten Commandments. And it said that, but if the cloud was not taken up, then they should not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And I think it's a beautiful representation of sometimes as Christians, we get it confused in saying, God, are you running with me? As opposed to, are we running with God and with his plan? And sometimes we get that twisted around saying that I need you to be with me with whatever I'm going to do. As opposed to vice versa and saying that, you know, God has his plan. I need to make sure I'm walking with him and staying aligned with him and whatever he has planned for me and whatever timing that may be, whatever place that he may have me to go and just working on just letting go and making sure we're staying faithful to him. So that verse more recently coming across and really just sat with me because I feel like a lot of us as Christians, we say, okay, God is with me in the midst and I'm going to be able to do whatever I can, knowing that God is with me regardless of what happens, as opposed to making sure that we're staying with him on his path and going where he tells us to go, staying where he tells us to stay, and just throughout all, keeping our eyes fixed on him.
Amen. That's so good. And I mean, for another athlete that is doing the opposite of that is saying like, hey God, do what I want to do, you know, don't trust in my plan, not your plan. What advice would you say to them? What would you say for them to just continue to pursue him and what he has in store for them?
Right. Just trusting in his plan and just seeing that it may not make sense now. It may not make sense ever, but just knowing that he has you for a specific purpose, regardless of what happens, whatever your circumstances are. And just knowing that if you stay faithful to him, he will bless you abundantly. And whether it's now in this world or if it's in heaven afterwards or if it's down the road or wherever it may be, again, like no one's journey and path is the same. And I think just, you know, like in my circumstance with my injury, like there could have been a lot of times where I said like, gosh, like why would you do this? Like we're having a great year. I'm not able to see this. I'm not able to enjoy this. And you know, this was like my year. I was able to like do things that I was hoping and had been waiting for forever. But it's one of the situations where again, like just take a breath, take a step back, know that this is all part of his plan. And obviously in the moment as athletes, like we want, you know, to be able to do things that we want to do in our time, you know, as we're very impatient people most of the time with athletes. but at the same time, just be able to take a step back, reevaluate, reassess, and just know that regardless of what's happening, to make sure that we're being used for his purpose and for his will over everything.
Yeah. Amen. Wow. Scott, this has been so enjoyable for me. I just thank you so much for coming on today. And I just wish you so much luck with next season and the rest of your PT and just everything leading up to that. So thank you so much again.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. This is awesome.
Awesome. For all you listening out there, please make sure to share this episode and subscribe to the show. But if you don't get anything else from this, just remember this. Jesus loves you and he's going to fight for you no matter what. Talk to y'all next time.